The Fourth Key, Refiring Spiritually. Chapter 9, The Big Picture. Dr. Jeffrey sat back in his chair, a thoughtful look on his face. "When I think about when you first came to see me 9 months ago, I'm amazed by all the changes you've made. Talk about approaching life with enthusiasm and adding zest. You're living examples of what it means to refire. You not only think about these things, you've actually changed your behavior. Documenting your experiences has added tremendously to my research. In the emotional, intellectual, and physical areas, you're doing great."
"So we've arrived," said Larry.
"Not quite yet," Dr. Jeffrey said. "In many ways, the most interesting and perhaps most challenging part of the journey is ahead."
"You mean the spiritual stuff?" said Janice.
"Yes," said Dr. Jeffrey. "Refiring spiritually adds another level of excitement and joy to your journey. But spirituality is often the toughest conversation to have, even tougher than talking about sex."
"I guess if we can talk about sex, we can talk about spirituality," said Janice.
"But why do you think it's so difficult?"
"Because people often associate spirituality with religion," said Dr. Jeffrey. "And unfortunately, they want to be right about their religion. Unless you've both been raised with the same beliefs, it gets a little ticklish. Tell me about your spiritual backgrounds."
Larry jumped in.
"We've led a pretty good spiritual life, generally. Janice comes with me to church when I ask. Our kids went to Sunday school and were confirmed, so that's been good."
"To be honest, Larry, I've been doing all those things because you wanted me to do them."
Larry turned to his wife with a look of surprise. "What do you mean, because I wanted you to do them?"
"You were raised in a fairly traditional way," Janice explained. "Your mom and dad were married forever. They shared the same faith, and you and your brothers were brought up attending Sunday school and services."
"Yes, that's right," said Larry, "and I know that your background was different."
"Different?" replied Janice. "How much more different could it be? Remember, my mother had been married before she met my father. She was an agnostic at best, and he was a non-religious Jew, so I was raised with some degree of spiritual confusion."
"Spiritual confusion? What do you mean by that?" asked Dr. Jeffrey.
"I got mixed messages," said Janice. "Mom and Dad seemed to think faith was a good thing, but they never went to temple or talked about religion. As a result, I never knew who I was in terms of my spirituality. So when I met Larry and he was very clear on what his beliefs were, I figured I would just go along."
"Just go along," said Larry. "I never knew that."
"I didn't want to make it an issue. It was important to you then, and it's still important to me," said Larry.
"Right," said Janice. "So I went along and it was okay, both for me and for the kids."
"Where are your kids with their spirituality?" asked Dr. Jeffrey.
"I don't know where the kids are at this point," said Larry with a rueful smile.
"Somewhere along the continuum between faith and agnosticism," Janice offered.
"You mean somewhere between the two of you," said Dr. Jeffrey with a smile.
"Yeah, I guess that's right," said Larry. "So given what you've been telling me, are you ready to explore spirituality now?" asked Dr. Jeffrey.
"I am," said Larry. "Since my brother Kevin died, I've been thinking about it a lot. I have a number of questions."
"I'm ready, too," said Janice. "Particularly since last week when I had an epiphany."
"An epiphany?" Larry said, laughing.
"I know it's a fancy-schmancy word, but yes, I had an epiphany."
"About what?" asked Larry.
"Remember a couple of weeks ago when I was so stressed?"
"Yeah," said Larry. "You were dealing with staffing issues at work, right?"
"Yeah, I didn't want to make a big deal about it, but I wasn't sleeping well. I was really worried."
Janice turned to Dr. Jeffrey and explained, "The person who filled my old role wasn't comfortable taking on the administrative chores. Then another opportunity came up for him and he left our organization. There was no replacement in sight. I had to cover that job as well as fulfill my new responsibilities. I also took on the search for a qualified candidate to fill the old position."
"I remember you were working a lot of hours," said Larry, "so what was your epiphany?"
"Everything changed." What do you mean everything changed? Asked Dr. Jeffrey. On Tuesday morning, our friend Kelly invited me to lunch at the last minute. Since I needed a break and didn't have other plans, I went. Kelly brought along an old colleague of hers who had recently moved back to town and was looking for, get this, an administrative position in an organization that was making a difference.
Sounds promising, said Dr. Jeffrey.
This woman and I really hit it off, Janice continued. Plus, she had skills and experience our organization desperately needed.
So that was good news, right? Asked Larry.
Yes, responded Janice. It was good news, but you know what? I had absolutely nothing to do with it.
What do you mean? Asked Larry. You were worrying about it.
Yes, but my worrying didn't resolve the issue. Things just happened.
Yeah, I can see how it would seem that way, Larry said, looking to Dr. Jeffrey.
No, said Janice. It didn't seem that way. It was that way. The perfect person for the job just happened to come along. Suddenly I remembered what I'd been saying to my friends over the years but never really heard myself.
What was that? Asked Dr. Jeffrey.
Man plans and...
God laughs, Larry interjected. I've always loved that saying.
For the first time, I really understand what that means. Seeing how that issue was resolved helped me look at things in a new way, said Janice.
In what way? Asked Dr. Jeffrey.
Until my epiphany, I thought that every time I succeeded, it was because of something I'd done.
And? Dr. Jeffrey prodded.
And that's not true. While I did well in college, the fact is that I got in almost by accident.
Really? Asked Larry with a look of astonishment.
Yes, I guess I never told you before, but the reason I got into Beckman College is because they needed an oboe player for the band. It had almost nothing to do with me. I was not a good student in high school, but I applied anyway and got in because I played the oboe. Once I got there, I did well, and that did have something to do with me. But getting in was really almost an accident.
That's interesting, said Larry.
That's not all I realized, said Janice. Looking at the downside, whenever things have gone wrong in the past, I felt that it was my fault.
And it's not, said Larry with a smile. He turned to Dr. Jeffrey and said, just teasing.
Janice smiled. No, it's not, she said. Our savings and investments decreased significantly a few years ago, but that wasn't my fault. That was due to the downturn of the economy. My epiphany was that I'm not totally responsible for things going well, nor am I totally at fault when things go wrong. Something's going on that's greater than what I can control. Maybe that's what spirituality is all about, but I'm not sure.
That's fascinating, said Dr. Jeffrey. So that epiphany has really prepared you to talk about refiring spiritually, right, Janice? And your brother's death has you thinking about it, right, Larry?
Yes, said Larry. For one thing, I've been wondering if you have to be religious to be spiritual.
While I believe spirituality is certainly related to a power greater than yourself, it may or may not involve religion.
To refire spiritually, your notion of God or a higher power has to be a concept you can do business with. In other words, it must be meaningful to you.
Makes sense, said Janice.
I want you to talk to two people who can give you an idea of the different ways people can refire spiritually. The first is Bobby Bradford. After a challenging time in his life, he got into the grocery business. The second is Cynthia Strohmeyer, who's an astronomer at the observatory. Dr. Jeffrey wrote the phone numbers on a piece of paper and handed it over. Call Bobby and Cynthia and go see them. Their different viewpoints should give you some perspective on how wide the spectrum can be for refiring spiritually.
Bobby Bradford greeted Larry and Janice at the entrance to the supermarket he managed in an up-and-coming part of town. His big smile and bear hug instantly made them feel welcome. He led them through the store to an office in the back. Along the way, customers and employees greeted Bobby with smiles and hellos.
Dr. Jeffrey is one of my favorite customers and one of the most caring human beings I know, Bobby said as the three of them settled into chairs. We've had some great talks.
He said you got into this business after a challenging time in your life, said Janice.
Bobby laughed.
That's a nice way to put it.
I used to be chronically unemployed. I was down and out and felt the whole world was against me. I had a lot of anger inside, especially about my dad, who deserted me when I was just a kid. I was a really bitter man. Then I met John. "Who's John?" asked Larry. "He was the guy who took a chance on hiring me. He was the first man who ever really cared about me and showed me respect. He convinced me to let go of the rage inside and forgive my dad. After all," he said, "your dad was just an ordinary man with strengths and weaknesses, like all of us."
"So John was your mentor?" said Larry.
"More than a mentor," Bobby replied. "He helped me make my life worth living. He said we're all part of a universe created by a God who loves us unconditionally, faults and all. John came to love me, faults and all, which opened my mind to the idea that there really was a God who loved me that way. That started a spiritual journey for me that turned my life around."
Janice said, "Dr. Jeffrey believes that refiring spiritually adds another dimension to life and pulls everything together. Do you believe that?"
"I sure do," said Bobby. "No matter what path you follow, unless your spiritual side is strong, your ego will get in the way, and you'll think life is all about you. The language may change from country to country and religion to religion, but the basic precept is the same. One way I think about it is ego versus God or spirit. Ego stands for edging God out."
"Edging God out? What do you mean by that?" asked Janice.
Bobby leaned forward. "Let me put it this way. Did you ever notice in your career that your performance was better at some times than others?"
"Lately, yes," Janice replied.
"Me too," said Larry. "And have you noticed that people are fickle? Sometimes they're with you and the next minute they're not?"
"Boy, that's the truth," Larry agreed.
"So your performance varies and people's opinion of you fluctuates. When you base your self-worth on outside influences like these, every day is like walking on eggshells, because how you feel about yourself is totally dependent on outside circumstances and other people. That's why I couldn't hold a job. As soon as I got criticized, I fell apart or blew up. And who'd want a person like that working for them?"
"You've got a point. But what does self-worth have to do with spirituality?" asked Larry.
"When you believe you are loved unconditionally by God, your self-worth does not depend on people, places, or things," said Bobby. "But if you get into your ego, which can also stand for everything good is outside, you exhaust yourself by searching for your self-worth out there somewhere."
Janice shook her head. "Bobby, I have to tell you, I'm a pretty skeptical person. But looking at you and seeing such peace and contentment in your face, it's hard for me to believe that you were ever a bitter guy. I'm envious. How did you get to this place? What steps did you take?"
Bobby laughed. "It wasn't always this way, and I still have my less than peaceful moments. But before I had a concept of a God who loved me, my goals were all really self-oriented. All I cared about was making money, becoming well-known, and having a lot of clout."
"What's wrong with that?" asked Larry.
"Nothing's wrong with any of those things in and of themselves," said Bobby. "But my approach to them never really made me happy. I was always comparing myself to everybody else. I thought I had to be smarter, brighter, better looking, more powerful, you name it. John pointed out to me that I was coming from a false sense of pride. As a result, I was obnoxious, always promoting my achievements, accomplishments, possessions, and the like."
"I get it," said Larry. "You were a jerk."
"Yeah, but I wasn't even a consistent jerk," Bobby continued. "I also had days when I was filled with self-doubt and fear. I was convinced I wasn't as bright, accomplished, creative, prosperous, whatever, as other people."
"I'll bet that was obnoxious too," said Janice.
"I'm afraid it was," said Bobby. "Fortunately, John taught me about humility."
"Humility?" asked Larry.
"I always thought humility was a sign of weakness."
"A lot of people do," said Bobby. "But John taught me that people with humility don't think less of themselves. They just think about themselves less."
"And how did that help?" asked Larry.
"By realizing I wasn't the center of the universe, I could focus on other people. And you know what? That brought me joy.
not to mention that it made me a lot more fun to work with and be around.
So I get the part about false pride and self-doubt or fear causing problems, said Larry, and that having a belief in God really helps with that. But sometimes it seems like God is so remote and out of reach.
A lot of people have that feeling, said Bobby. The way I brought God closer in my life was to open up a dialogue. I basically said, if you're out there, I need to hear from you.
And did he answer? Asked Janice, arching an eyebrow.
I didn't hear a booming voice from the parted clouds, said Bobby with a laugh. But I felt a change in my heart, and my life began to change. I saw things in a new way. People were human beings just like me, not allies or enemies. Plus, at certain moments, enjoying the beauty of nature or reading scripture, I could sense the presence of God.
Does spirituality always have to include God? Asked Janice.
You can call it whatever you want, said Bobby. In Alcoholics Anonymous, they call it a higher power. The point is, it's something bigger than you.
Would you call yourself religious? Asked Larry.
Not necessarily, said Bobby. The problem with religions, as Dr. Jeffrey and I once talked about, is that when people get involved in one, they often want to be right. If I had a magic wand and I was going to make one change in the world, I would have people give up being right. Because for you to be right, somebody else has to be wrong. And most of the wars, conflicts, and arguments around the world are win-lose battles around being right, particularly about religion.
That's for sure, said Janice. It's one of the reasons I've more or less steered clear of religion.
Bobby nodded. For me, spirituality isn't about making other people wrong. It's about loving them. And it's more than a Saturday or Sunday activity. I read scripture and invite God into my life every day, which gives me a moral compass. It helps me keep my ego in check and guides how I interact with others.
So what I hear you saying, said Larry, is that for you, spirituality is about reaching out to God on a day-to-day basis for help, to be the best human being you possibly can be.
You've got it, said Bobby.
Apparently that's really working for you, said Janice. I love the energy in this store. Your customers and the people who work here really seem to love you.
That's because I love them, and I love serving them, said Bobby.
I think we finally become adults when we realize that we're here to serve, not to be served. We're here to give, not to get.
I remember Dr. Jeffrey mentioning service as one of the three ways to refire and move from success to significance, said Larry.
It's true, said Bobby.
When you have that attitude, as John used to tell me, you'll be amazed at what comes back. He told me never to do good for other people with the idea that I'd get something back, but that if I focused on others, I should watch out, because I'd be amazed at the good that would come back to me. I know I get more out of this work than the people I'm helping do.
Larry and Janice stood up and gave Bobby a hug.
Thank you, said Janice. You've really shed some light on this spirituality thing for us.
Chapter 10. Another Perspective. Rounding a curve on the winding mountain road, Larry and Janice saw the pale gray dome of the observatory come into view.
Wow, what a great place to work, Janice said. It's beautiful up here.
I must say, I've never met an astronomer before, said Larry. This ought to be interesting.
Cynthia Strohmeyer was certainly not what either Janice or Larry had been expecting. The red-headed woman who greeted them was in her early 40s at most.
Wearing comfortable clothes, she met them at the entrance to the spacious room that housed the massive telescope.
Welcome, she said, after they'd made introductions. My uncle has told me so many good things about you guys.
Your uncle? Said Larry, puzzled.
Oh, he said, the light going on. You must be Dr. Jeffrey's niece.
He didn't tell you? She said with a laugh.
No, said Janice. He just said you'd give us a fresh perspective on what it means to refire spiritually.
Cynthia led them to some seats at the edge of the gallery where they had a clear view of the telescope.
I've been interested in math and science since grade school, she said. By the time I reached grad school in my 20s, I identified myself as an agnostic. I just didn't find religion and spirituality compelling. Making assumptions without empirical evidence seemed so irrational to me. People who talked about God's love and miracles sounded naive and sentimental, if not downright delusional. "I hear you," said Janice. "So you think people who believe in God are delusional?" asked Larry, a little defensively. "Not at this point," said Cynthia. "I have a broader concept of what the term God might mean these days." She nodded toward the telescope. "I was part of a team here attempting to take photographs of exoplanets, planets outside our solar system. Looking through that telescope one night, I had what I guess you'd call a spiritual experience." "An epiphany?" offered Janice. "Yes, an epiphany. Billions of years ago, the universe was just a swirl of elementary particles, and now it's a place where we can build telescopes to peer so far into space that we're witnessing events that happened hundreds of millions of years ago."
"Whoa," said Larry.
"But what was the epiphany?" asked Janice, leaning forward in her seat. "When I looked through that telescope, it suddenly dawned on me that the most complex physical structure known to man was just 6 inches away from the eyepiece of the telescope. That ball of elementary particles from billions of years ago had eventually resulted in the human brain, my consciousness. I just couldn't rationally believe that this was a random coincidence. There had to be a higher intelligence at work." Janice nodded. "When I was a kid, I had an aunt who used to say that not believing in God made as much sense as believing that the unabridged dictionary was the result of an explosion in a print shop. That never made sense to me until just now." "How has your epiphany changed your life, Cynthia?" asked Larry. "These days, I don't simply approach my work or life as a problem to be solved. I have a sense of awe and wonder that I didn't have before. I understand that I'm relatively insignificant, but at the same time I have this sense that my life matters a great deal."
"Do you believe in God?" Larry asked.
Cynthia paused before answering. "I believe in a divine order, a higher mind, if you will. While that differs from the personal God a lot of people worship, it's meaningful to me. Plus," she added with a smile, "I know my understanding is limited. I guess you could say I'm evolving." As Larry and Janice drove back down the mountain, Janice said, "Talking with Bobby and Cynthia really has given me food for thought. I can finally see why Dr. Jeffrey thinks spirituality is important in getting the most out of life." Larry nodded. "Now the question is, how are we going to put what we've learned into action?"
"We could start by coming up with a refiring spiritually code of conduct," Janice offered.
The two of them exchanged ideas throughout the ride home, refining their ideas about what spirituality might look like in terms of a person's attitude and behavior. As they talked, Janice entered their thoughts into her tablet. When they'd settled on the main ideas, Janice read aloud, "Refiring spiritually. Be aware. See the big picture. Be forgiving. Give up being right. Be grateful. Count your blessings. Be accepting. Realize you're not in total control. Be humble. Realize you're not the center of the universe."
"That sounds about right," said Larry, "but I'll bet it's easier said than done."
"I guess we won't know until we start trying, will we?" said Janice with a laugh. Pause, reflect, take action. How were you raised in terms of religion or spirituality? What events or experiences have shaped your belief system? The next time you compare yourself to others, stop and notice what you're doing. What things can you do to cultivate a sense of inner peace? Have a talk about spirituality with a person you trust. Putting it all together. Chapter 11, The Refiring Gang. In time, the Last Minute Gang evolved into a refiring gang, a group devoted to supporting each other in approaching life with gusto, energy, and zest. Instead of getting together at their house for the midsummer meeting of the gang, Larry and Janice encouraged their friends to participate in a walk-run 5K to stop diabetes in its tracks, followed by a potluck in the park. To their delight, everyone cleared their calendars for the event. "Seen any good animated films lately?" Larry asked as he caught up with his friend Rob, who was moving along at a brisk pace. Rob and Larry were in the lead, Janice and Alice were following at a good clip, Kelly was taking up the rear, and Phil, who was no longer using a cane, would be joining them for the last mile. "I'm watching a lot fewer movies and doing a lot more walking," said Rob, slightly out of breath. "The more I do this, the stronger I feel." "I see the finish line in the park up ahead," said Larry. "I have to admit, I'm really ready for that potluck." Since Larry and Rob, cheered by an enthusiastic crowd, were the first of the gang to cross the finish line, they went to the car to get the coolers. Soon their picnic table was filled with grilled chicken and vegetables, leafy greens, coleslaw, potato salad, drinks, fruit salad, and chocolate chip cookies. "What a beautiful sight," said Janice as she and Alice approached the picnic table. Soon everyone arrived, took their seats, and began filling their plates. Janice stood up and cleared her throat. "Thank you all so much for coming out and supporting Larry and me in our new cause, finding a cure for diabetes. Another reason I wanted to get us all together is to find out how all of you have been doing with this refiring stuff. Who wants to start?"
"I will," said Rob. "When you two started getting into shape, it inspired me. I've made some big changes. I walk most days, for one thing. A year ago, you never would have caught me doing a 5K. Now look at me."
"You look great," said Janice.
"That's not all," Rob continued. "I'm also eating differently. I grew up down south, so food was always fried and heavy on sausages, pork, and the like. I don't eat that way now, although I am going to have some of that potato salad."
"You've earned it today," said Larry. For the next half hour, everyone chimed in and reported how they'd been refiring. Almost all of them were doing some type of exercise on a regular basis. Most were trying to eat healthier, with mixed results. Everyone said they were trying to learn something new. Phil and Kelly had signed up for classes at the local university. Rob was learning woodworking from a friend who was a master at it. And Alice had taken up the piano, an instrument she hadn't played since college. Finally, each of their friends was reassessing where they were spiritually. Kelly was the last to speak.
"This is so great being out here on a beautiful day. I'm thinking back to what our lives were like a year ago, and I have to say to our hosts, Larry and Janice, you seem so different now compared to then."
The two looked at each other and smiled.
"We are different," said Janice, "but I didn't realize it showed.
Larry's lost a few pounds and Janice has a sassy new haircut."
"But it's not so much how you guys look," said Kelly. "It's just something about you."
"For one thing," said Larry, "I'm not working nearly as much as I used to, and Janice has taken on a major role with her nonprofit."
"But it's more than just changing roles," said Janice. "We've made fundamental changes in how we deal with life and with each other."
"That's true," said Larry. "I've stepped back from work, but I'm more engaged in life than I ever was. Working a few hours each week with young entrepreneurs at the Small Business Administration has been really inspiring and eye-opening. The business world is changing so fast that I'm learning as much from these people as they're learning from me. And remember I mentioned that I was going to be doing some writing?" Around the table, people nodded. "It was actually going to be a written family history, but it's morphed into a family history in pictures."
"I don't know what you mean," said Kelly.
"How many of you have hundreds, if not thousands, of pictures taken over decades stored away in boxes and drawers?" Larry asked.
Everyone said yes.
"I'm trying to figure out a way to electronically organize all these photos and bring them together into the story of our family. So I'm becoming a technology expert."
"You? A technology guru? I don't believe it," said Rob.
"My teenage grandson Paul is my senior consultant," Larry said with a laugh.
"That sounds like a good business idea, starting a company that helps people do that," said Rob.
"Maybe down the road," said Larry, "but right now I just want to get it done for us."
"And thank you, Kelly,"
Larry continued, for noticing that I've lost a few pounds. The important thing is, I'm healthier than I've been since high school. You won't see me eating desserts very often, although I do intend to have a half of a chocolate chip cookie to celebrate my 5K walk today. It's not just my weight that's improved. My lab results consistently show healthy numbers. Take that, diabetes. There was a smattering of applause from Larry's friends. What about you, Janice? Asked Kelly. What's different besides the hairstyle? Janice poured a second glass of sparkling water. I always dreamed about being a risk-taker, but now I'm actually acting on those dreams, and I'm finding out that with risks come not only rewards, but also problems. You can complain to us, joked Rob. Janice smiled. I'm not complaining, or as my father would say, kvetching. I'm just saying, when I stepped into the executive director job, our organization was heading toward trouble. Donations were down and volunteers were leaving. I had to do some research, creative thinking, and networking to get us back on track. What's been surprising to me is that once I started working on these problems, I found out something I didn't know about myself. I'm pretty smart and capable. We knew that, said Kelly. But I didn't, not really, said Janice. This job has given me confidence in dealing with people in situations outside of work, too.
You mean like me? Asked Larry.
Yes, frankly, said Janice. I speak my mind more often, don't I, honey?
You do, said Larry. And you know what? I love this more confident woman I'm married to. I'm feeling closer to you than ever.
And I love this man who's hanging around the house more, making at least a couple of dinners each week, said Janice. Not that everything's perfect. We're learning to negotiate decision-making.
Good luck with that, Phil quipped.
What are you negotiating about? Asked Rob, motioning for Janice to pass the chicken. Janice handed the platter down to Rob. Because Larry used to bring home most of the income, I used to let him take the lead on deciding how the money should be spent. Now our roles are reversed, and I'm getting more involved in our finances.
Uh-oh, said Rob ominously. Party's over, Larry.
Larry laughed. It's not all that bad. We're figuring it out. It's actually kind of stimulating. We'd been in the same roles doing the same things for so many years that we'd sort of stopped listening to each other.
It's true, said Janice. I'd forgotten what a great sense of humor Larry has.
That's what's different, said Kelly, her eyes lighting up. You haven't just changed your looks and the things you're doing. Your whole relationship has changed.
I can't speak for Janice, but I know I'm changing on the inside, too, said Larry.
I'd gotten into a rut with church, attending services more out of habit than genuine interest. I decided to refire there, too. For years, I'd thought about how I might put my faith into action. This year, I didn't just think about it. I started a small group that brings meals and entertainment to homebound seniors. I thought it would be depressing, but it's just the opposite. I love these people. It's often the highlight of my week.
And I finally get why Larry's church is important to him, said Janice. I can see the peace and sense of calm it gives him. I'm also looking for that inner peace. While I don't really experience that in Larry's church, I did stumble upon something like it in a yoga class I started taking. They have several minutes of silent meditation at the end of class. Without all the words, which always sound like dogma to me, I'm able to go within and feel peaceful.
Sounds like you two have gotten real with each other about where you are with the whole spiritual thing, said Rob.
We have, said Larry. These days we're much more honest with each other, not just tolerant, but also accepting of where each of us is on our spiritual journey. The last of the meal had been eaten, and everyone began gathering up their plates. Alice stood up and stretched.
Oh, man, the only journey I'm ready to take right now is home to a hot bath. I'm going to sleep well tonight.
With that, the group loaded what was left of the meal into the coolers. They set a date for their next meeting, exchanged hugs all around, and headed to their cars. Pause, reflect, take action. How ready are you to begin your own refiring journey? What can you do to get ready? When will you begin this journey? Who can support you on your journey and be part of your own refiring gang?
Name three things you can do to get started. Choose one and just do it.
Chapter 12. Sharing the Experience.
Dr. Jeffrey stood on the stage at the Performing Arts Center, where he had just presented the results of his research on new models of aging to several hundred people. Near the front row, a camera captured his talk, which would be broadcast to a local television network and a wide internet audience. "To summarize," Dr. Jeffrey said, "what I call refire is not simply to stop or start working, or take a class, or to finally lose that 20 pounds. It's an ongoing process of approaching things with gusto, taking risks, and bringing enthusiasm and zest to every area of your life." The video screen behind him went dark, and Dr. Jeffrey stepped to the edge of the stage. "Now, for those of you who've heard the statistics from my research, watched my PowerPoint, and haven't yet fallen asleep, I have a real treat for you. I'm going to bring out a couple who have lived all the things I've just talked about. We're going to hear now from Larry and Janice Sparks, who are in the midst of their own refiring journey." Hearing their cue, Larry and Janice walked onto the stage and settled into director's chairs, while Dr. Jeffrey took a seat in a chair facing them. "Janice, why don't we begin with you?" he said.
"Sure," said Janice. "First, I'd like to thank you for inviting us here today and giving us this opportunity to share our story with such a huge audience." She took a moment to scan the crowd. "Who knew so many people would be interested in hearing what a couple of 60-somethings have to say?"
"I'm not at all surprised at the crowd," said Dr. Jeffrey. "As I said in my lecture, you and Larry represent a huge demographic. Isn't that right, Larry?"
Larry's eyes widened, and for a couple of moments he froze. Just as things were getting uncomfortable, he cleared his throat and said,
"I have to be honest. Speaking in front of such a big crowd makes me nervous. Now I understand why some people fear public speaking more than death."
The audience laughed, clearing away the tension.
Dr. Jeffrey said, "Okay, Larry, we'll let you off the hook for now. Janice, why don't you tell us how this all began for you?"
Janice said, "A couple of years ago, we were just kind of going along on autopilot. Then we went to our 45th high school reunion and saw how differently our peers were aging. Some were full of energy and ideas. Others looked listless and bored, and when they spoke, they weren't very interesting. We saw we had a choice about which camp we were going to be in."
"At the reunion, we ran into Dr. Jeffrey," Larry chimed in. "He told us about this research he was doing on a new positive model of aging that he called refiring. He said he'd be happy to give us some coaching if we were interested."
"I remember that conversation," said Dr. Jeffrey, "and I was delighted when you called a few weeks later."
"Right after the reunion, my twin brother died of a heart attack," said Larry, "so that was kind of a wake-up call for me. I didn't want to sleepwalk through whatever time I had left. Plus, I was stepping back from work while Janice was taking on a new job, so we both felt like it was a good time to get some direction."
"So that's how this all started," said Dr. Jeffrey. "Now tell us a little about how you've refired."
"No, we haven't refired. We're refiring," Janice corrected. "And we're still doing it, still experimenting and learning."
"Janice makes a good point," said Dr. Jeffrey. "As I mentioned earlier, refiring is an ongoing process." He turned to the audience. "Sorry, folks, you're never done."
Again, the audience laughed.
Dr. Jeffrey continued, "I'd love for you to tell us what you two did to refire your relationships."
Larry nodded and said, "We noticed we were getting kind of predictable in our social life, going to the same places at the same times with the same people and doing the same things. So we came up with this idea to start a last-minute gang, where everyone agreed that unless we had a valid reason for turning down an invitation to do something, we'd do it, even at the last minute."
"And how did that energize you?" asked Dr. Jeffrey.
"It made us more spontaneous and open to new adventures," said Janice, "not only with our friends, but also with our kids and grandkids."
"That's for sure," said Larry. "One of my best friends now is my grandson, Paul,
who takes me to places I'd never think to go. He'll call me up on a Saturday morning and say, "What are you up for, Gramps?" Then we create some fun activity to do on the spot.
Dr. Jeffrey nodded. As I said in my lecture, research shows that people who stay connected with others have better health, sleep better, and enjoy life more.
Speaking of kids, said Janice, as we started refiring, we found out that this wasn't just for seniors. When our adult children and their friends heard about our refiring, they got inspired to make changes in their own lives.
Of course, not all of our refiring ideas worked out, said Larry. I always thought it would be kind of sexy to have a motorcycle, so I went out and bought one. When I began riding it, I realized it was also pretty scary. There are a lot of big cars on the road. So apart from collecting dust, that shiny red motorcycle looks as good as new in our garage, because I never ride it.
Dr. Jeffrey laughed and said, "Those are some great stories about emotional refiring. Tell us about how you refired intellectually."
"I'll start," said Janice. "While most of my friends who had jobs were retiring, I took my volunteer work to a higher level by agreeing to be executive director at my nonprofit. At first, I was almost overwhelmed with the paperwork, but then I redesigned my job so that more and more days I came home with such an adrenaline rush that it took a while to settle down and go to sleep."
"Janice makes a good point here," said Dr. Jeffrey. "You'll know you're refiring when you're experiencing what we call positive stress, which can help you achieve goals and feel alive. That kind of stress can actually be healthy, as long as it doesn't go on too long."
"Yes," said Janice. "I realized I'd taken on too much when I tried to learn Spanish on top of everything else I was doing. I got up to lesson 5 and started getting overwhelmed. I realized I simply didn't have the time to study or practice, so I dropped that."
"So tell us about some refiring ideas that did work out," said Dr. Jeffrey.
"Sure," said Larry. "One of the big wins for me was refiring physically. When I started, I was 20 pounds overweight and a newly diagnosed diabetic. Today, I'm a pretty healthy guy."
"And Larry's improved eating and exercise habits have rubbed off on me," said Janice. "I was one of those women who hated going to the gym. I still hate going to the gym, but you know what? My yoga class is my favorite part of the week."
"So what motivates you two in this area?" asked Dr. Jeffrey.
"My diabetes was the thing that pushed me into walking and eating right," said Larry. "But after a while, it was how really great I felt that kept me going."
"I would have to say the same thing," said Janice. "My doctor had been encouraging me to do something about my high blood pressure, so that was part of it. But once Larry and I started eating better and I found this gentle yoga class that leaves me feeling wonderful instead of sore and sweaty, it's the feel-good aspect that keeps me going."
"Yeah," Larry jumped in. "There's this feeling you get when you're refiring. It's like you're running on all cylinders. You get addicted, in a positive way, to the excitement and energy you feel."
"It's true," said Janice. "One night we went to dinner with an old friend who is now living in a retirement home. All the residents were sitting around with slumped shoulders, looking like they were just waiting to die. I said to Larry, 'What if this were a refirement home instead of a retirement home? Maybe someone would stand up at the head of the table and say, okay, everybody, the discussion question for the night is—'"
"So what I'm hearing," said Dr. Jeffrey, "is that once you start refiring, you build momentum."
"Sort of," said Larry, "but you have to keep at it. I did some backsliding. I realize now that it's not automatic. It's up to me whether I go forward or backward."
"Say more about that," said Dr. Jeffrey.
"It's my choice. I can either keep eating right and exercising, or I can get sick and feel crummy again. I can either keep learning and exploring, or I can get bored and depressed. I can either keep reaching out to friends and new people, or I can sit around and get lonely and grumpy. I can either keep practicing my faith, or I can start feeling like life is empty and pointless. Believe it or not, the spiritual thing has been my favorite part of this whole refiring journey," said Janice. "Somehow I'd managed to be married to Larry for 40 years without ever admitting to him that I didn't feel at home in his church. I was afraid that telling him would put a barrier between us, but it's done the opposite.
Why do you think that is? Asked Dr. Jeffrey.
My husband has been so respectful of my feelings about this, said Janice. She reached over and took Larry's hand. It's made me love him even more.
Larry shrugged. Hey, even I don't have all the answers.
After a thoughtful pause, Dr. Jeffrey turned to the audience and said, So to recap here, we've got two people who saw themselves getting into a rut as they grew older. Rather than letting that rut get any deeper, they refired their work, their relationship, their friendships, their health, and their spiritual lives. And don't they look great? The audience broke into applause.
Blushing slightly, Larry said, Wait a minute. First of all, as Janice said earlier, we're still refiring, and we get that we'll never completely arrive. Second, you make it sound like we're something special. We're not. We're ordinary people. He looked out at the audience. Every one of you can do the same things we're doing, and I hope you do, because this refiring stuff is a kick in the pants.
The audience laughed. As the laughter died down, Dr. Jeffrey stood and walked to the edge of the stage.
You've heard me talk about refiring, you've seen the results of my research, and you've heard the impact it's had on Larry and Janice. What I'd like you to do now is quiet yourself and answer three questions. Question 1. What have you heard here today?
Dr. Jeffrey paused to let the question sink in.
Question 2. What does it mean to you?
Question 3. How can you begin your own refiring journey?
Now I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you and share the answers to those questions with one another. Soon the auditorium was filled with the roar of conversation and laughter. After a few minutes, Dr. Jeffrey raised his hand to quiet the room.
From the energy and volume of the last few minutes, it sounds like you've really got it.
Thank you for your time today. Before I close, I want you to do 4 things. First, keep thinking about what you've heard today about refiring. Second, keep thinking about what it means to you. Third, keep thinking about what you can do to refire. And I'm going to put the 4th and last thing up on the screen, because it's really important.
Dr. Jeffrey hit his remote, and 3 words appeared on the screen. Help others refire.
About the authors. Ken Blanchard. Few people have made a more positive and lasting impact on the day-to-day management of people and companies than Ken Blanchard. He is the co-author of several best-selling books, including the blockbuster international bestseller The 1-Minute Manager and the giant business bestsellers Raving Fans and Gung Ho. His books have combined sales of more than 20 million copies in 42 languages. Ken, with his wife Margie, is the co-founder of the Ken Blanchard Companies, a worldwide human resource development company. He is also co-founder of Lead Like Jesus, a nonprofit organization dedicated to inspiring and equipping people to be servant leaders in the marketplace. Ken and Margie live in San Diego and work with their son Scott, his wife Madeline, and their daughter Debbie. Morton Shavitz. For more than 3 decades, Morton Shavitz has been helping individuals and organizations to grow and change through his work as a clinician, teacher, author, consultant, and speaker. As a member of the Division of Internal Medicine at Scripps Clinic, he developed a number of behavioral health programs, and his interest turned toward medical and geriatric psychology. He is currently the chair of the section of geriatric psychology for the California Psychological Association. He has served as a member of the Leadership Council of the Stein Institute for Research on Aging and is an associate clinical professor of psychiatry at the University of California, San Diego. Morton has 4 adult children and 4 grandchildren, and he and Marjorie live in La Jolla, California. Services available. If you would like additional information about how to apply these concepts and approaches in your organization, or if you would like information on other services, programs, and products offered by Blanchard International and Shavitz & Associates, MHS Consulting, please contact us at The Ken Blanchard Companies, World Headquarters,
125 State Place, Escondido, California, 92029, United States. Phone 1-760-489-5005. Email international@kenblanchard.com. Website www.kenblanchard.com. Or Shavitz & Associates/MHS Consulting. 2671 Green Tree Lane, La Jolla, California, 92037. Phone 1-858-459-0155. Email morton.shavitz@shavitzandassociates.com. Website www.shavitzandassociates.com or www.mhsconsulting.com.
This has been Refire. Don't retire. Make the rest of your life the best of your life. Written by Ken Blanchard and Morton Shavitz. Narrated by Joe Bronzi. Copyright 2015 by Polvera Publishing and Morton Shavitz. Production copyright 2015 by Polvera Publishing and Morton Shavitz.